Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio. Under a Shady Tree with Lord Terry and Lord Onyx. Come on in, grab a glass of sweet iced tea and sit right down. These Southern Pagan boys are about to start their talk. Here's Lord Terry and Lord Onyx.
And good evening, everybody. This is, let's see, it's evening here. It could be morning or afternoon. Wherever you are, we are happy you are with us. And this is the Reverend Terry Power, and these are you're joining us under a shady tree with Terry and Robin. And let's get Robin in here. The buttons aren't going. There we go. Robin, are you with me?
I certainly am.
All right, my lady, my love, my partner. All right.
Hi.
So how are things over there, darling? Since I'm over here
really,
telling you guys
really
live.
Cold.
Yep. Very cold.
Yes.
It amazes me that I'm up in the mountains over here coming to you guys live from Boulder, Colorado, and we had high of 60 today.
Mm.
I run around in shirt sleeves, and back home, I was not expecting it to be warmer here than at home. I overpacked somewhat. So, it sounds like I'll need it all when I get off the plane Saturday. So
probably, yeah.
Yeah, so, and the promise is for a really nasty, bitter, cold weekend. Am I understanding correctly?
You are understanding correctly, sir.
Now, here's the thing. I'll be home with you, so it'll be warm wherever I am with you.
Oh, so, thank you, honey.
All right, so tonight I am so excited. We have Tuatha Dia tonight. And so Danny and Becca are in the queue waiting for us to bring them on, and they've got a bunch of the members of the band. So I'm just excited, and let's just go ahead and bring them on. Did you have anything else you wanted to say first?
No, that's fine.
All right, so as soon as the swell, okay, Danny, Becca, you guys there?
We are here.
We're here.
Hi, welcome.
All right. And welcome to the Shady Tree. We're glad you're here. Just come on down and hang out with us. So
I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Oh, well, we're just tremendously excited. I love you guys' music, and I'm looking forward to meeting you here. And, the time is getting short here in just a couple of months, it feels like now. At the Caldera Fest.
Yeah, that's coming up soon. It's coming quick, and we're glad. We're excited about that. That's going to be a fun deal.
So, Danny, there may be one or two people out there in the world that are listening to us that have lived under a rock or something and have not heard of you guys. So why don't you take just a couple of minutes and tell our listeners a little bit about you and Becca and Shurasadia and what you guys are all about.
Okay, okay. Well, the quick rundown, predominantly we were a family before we were, well, we didn't even mean to be a band. That was inadvertent. We started out just getting together with family and friends back. It was around 2009, and it all started around the fire at gatherings. We were drumming around the fire. We started drumming together. We carried that home with us, and then we started carrying it out in the public. And inadvertently, this wasn't inadvertent. We started adding musical instruments and various instrumentation just to see what would happen, and had no idea anybody would like any of it. It sort of just kind of grew from there. So we started with no intention of being a band, and now here we are, and that's why there's so many people in the group that are related or connected in some other fashion. And we joke about it. There's no point in the band breaking up because, we would get together in some dysfunctional fashion one way or the other, whether we're a group or not. But we started out as a drum facilitation group when we first went public, and then added the instrumentation in. And because we started in the pagan community around fire drumming, that's where it all comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Over time, it's become this eclectic blend. Everything has been inadvertent. That's the best way I know to put it. No, we've never planned anything.
Mm-hmm.
Now here we are. There's been some transitions. People have come and gone. Some people have come and gone and come back again, and we like that open door policy. But overall, now we make music, and we are fortunate to get to travel around and play at a lot of places and play with a lot of fantastic artists that we just used to listen to. Now we're all really good friends with them and stuff. So that's Tuatha Dea, basically. The concept starting with the drum facilitation group, the idea being that drums are unifying. There's music being the universal language. We just kind of took that to the next level with the drums because we've always felt that they built that it's the perfect example of what community should be.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow or another, it's all led to this, and here we are.
So it sounds to me like what you're saying is you had a family jam session around the fire and a band broke out.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I mean, it was extended family, too. I mean, people we were really close to that we call family, you choose your family sometimes. it started out just something we were doing for ourselves, something we were doing for our community, and it just blew into something else. And here it is. So you're exactly right.
It sounds like it was meant to be. Well, very cool. So, yeah, we started talking a few minutes ago about Caldera Fest.
Absolutely.
And I'm excited. Robin and I are going to be there, and we're going to meet, so many of the people that we have listened to and talked to on the radio. And so we're looking forward to it. Tell us a little bit about your involvement and your plans for the event and that sort of thing.
Okay, okay. Caldera is an unprecedented event. It's something that a lot of us in pagan music have been waiting to happen. I mean, it's kind of like a dream come true sort of thing. It's being touted as the pagan Woodstock, and I agree. I've been pronouncing his name incorrectly all along, so I'm going to try to get it right now. David Benash had this amazing idea. I mean, a lot of us have talked about it, and thought about how cool it would be, but he had this amazing idea, and he made it happen. He made it real for all of us. To create this festival, a pagan music festival, a festival just about the music. Well, it's not just about that, obviously. It goes well beyond that, but focusing on the music. And when we first became involved in it, we didn't realize what we were stepping into early on. And then the names kept rolling in and kept rolling in. And now there's 29 pagan bands from around the world, and literally around the world. It's going to be in one place at one time for this four-day festival in Georgia. And David Benach has made all this possible. This is his baby. It's his brainchild. We're part of that, and we're excited and stoked beyond belief to be part of that, because you're going to have, again, 29 groups. And I don't even know if I started down the list if I could hit everybody.
I probably couldn't.
Yeah, I'd mess up. I'd be afraid to do it. But you've got folks from the UK and from Australia and from every part of the United States and from Canada. It's kind of the who's who list in pagan music today. And you talk about excited. We're all excited. Was talking to some of the other groups that were going to be there, and they're just as stoked. Everybody's kind of pumped up about the fact. We played a lot of festivals where you get to play with two or three other groups, probably max, and a lot of us have got to know each other. There's a few people there we've never met, but for the most part, you know, we all kind of know each other. It is a community. It's a tribe that that the musicians, you know, circulate in, and so we know most everybody. So in a weird way, it's going to be just like getting to hang out with some really good friends that you don't get to see all the time. But there's going to be 29 different artists, and I just think that's phenomenal. So we're extremely excited. We got some tie-ins to that. I don't know if you're ready to talk about the Green Album or not, but that's going to happen there too, which is a big, big deal in and of itself. But David was kind enough to make it part of what's taking place at Caldera. And this is, as I said earlier, it's completely unprecedented. Nothing like this has ever happened anywhere in the world. So everybody, anybody that can hear us talking about this, if they haven't made plans to be there, I hope they do.
Get your tickets now, because they're going fast. And if you want to visit their website for Caldera Fest, it's paganmusicfestival.com. And like I said, I've been watching. The tickets are going fast.
Yeah, they sold out of certain things already. So, you know, I do know that. So it's
cool.
We were all stoked. We don't even know what to expect.
It's going to be really awesome. Well,
yeah.
You know what I'm really struck by is that you guys sound like you're fans of each other, the musicians, which is always really cool, because, you know, not only are you playing on stage and sharing music with each other, but it's really cool when you look over and you see other bands watching other bands and just being entertained. And I'm really looking forward to seeing that and how you guys all interact.
Well, I'm so glad you brought that up, because, you know, we do some crossover stuff. Tuatha Dé has been doing Celtic festivals and some mainstream stuff. And so we've had interactions with other groups, but only in the pagan community have I seen the type of camaraderie and communal tribal connections that you get, you know. And you're right,
mm-hmm.
We're spot on. We're huge fans of some of these other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I've even been accused of being fanboy on several occasions.
Now, I can understand that. I kind of went silly and gushed when we had Dave the Bard, when we interviewed him back before back Christmas Eve. So I understand. I've tried to calm myself a little bit through some of the artists that I've talked to since, because I was almost a little embarrassed. But she's laughing because she will agree with you. She would say it if I, you know. So one of the questions I had, now I understand that all of the workshops that are going to be going on at Caldera Fest are going to be put on by the musicians.
Yes, yes. You know, they
so,
do have workshops included, yeah.
So what are you guys going to be doing?
Well, for us, this is really easy. We do workshops all over the place. I said we started as a drum facilitation group. So obviously what you can expect from Tuatha Dé is we call them interactive, they're facilitations, but it's just a big interactive drumathon is what it is. And whether you've ever been involved with drumming, whether you're an experienced drummer or whether you've never touched one, that's been our goal from the beginning, is get people involved in that. And so it'll be obviously drum-oriented. We bounced it around a lot. We've done a lot of different types of workshops over the years, but we want to make this one since we're only getting to do one, we want to make this one that reaches out to everybody, that's accessible to all ages. So it's basically community through rhythm is, I think, what we're going to be shooting for with this one. And it's open to everybody. The idea come in, again, whether you have any experience drumming or not. Matter of fact, we consider ourselves the kindergarten teachers of drumming. We kind of take that approach. We don't like to exclude. And the message that we're hoping that we're sending out is that the drum is a voice, and everybody's got one. Everybody should be able to use it. And we just want to integrate everybody together into one big mass of drumming. And we'll do that. We'll have everybody, if everything goes the way it's planned, we'll have everybody drumming within 5 minutes, no matter who they are. We'll bring drums. People can bring their own drums. But I don't know, because we let this stuff develop organically once it gets started, other than telling you that it's going to be an open facilitation or open rhythm event, with us guiding it, not running it, guiding it, it'll take on its own life. And that's what we're going to be shooting for, is community through rhythm and using the drum.
Well, that sounds pretty cool, and I love the idea of the kindergarten approach, because I could probably use that.
Well, you're probably underselling yourself, but yeah. We don't teach traditional rhythms. There's a lot of folks out there that do that, and we're more focused on getting more people involved. And sometimes if you come at people, you know, trying to teach a more advanced sort of thing, you're excluding folks. So what we want to do is keep this basic, keep it simple, and keep it fun. And rather than call it a workshop, we like to refer to them as play shops. And hopefully people can walk out of it with – everybody walks out of them with, something different. Some people may go on to want to pursue something more advanced. Some people may just take drums from there and use them for, you know, they're used for everything from meditation to just having fun and making music and communication. So everybody can walk away from it with something different. That's the hope. That's the goal.
Yeah, I've been telling my students for years that drumming is cathartic, and that when you're really having a rough moment in your life, grab your drum, sit down, and just start hitting it, and inevitably you'll feel better when you're done. And I had the pleasure years ago of taking some drum classes with lots of different people, and I'm so excited, because one of the things that you don't see a lot of in the community are women playing the drum. And as a woman who likes to go to drum circle and sit down with my drum and play, maybe more so in the past than recently, but it was always sort of like the guys' club, you know, the big, yeah. Look at my big drum.
You know? Oh, well, you know what, we totally agree with that. You know, Tawaf is kind of split evenly, females and males. And mm-hmm. One of the things that I, way back early on when we first started putting together workshops that crossed my mind, in paganism, back when everything, the resurgence of neo-paganism in the early 60s, you had, there was a great, and well, there should have been, a great attempt to sort of equalize things. But I always thought it was odd that the one place that you didn't see that was in the drum circle. I mean,
yeah.
When I first came into drumming, what you saw more often than not was you see the women dancing and the men drumming.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought that was an oddity, that somehow we'd missed something. And
mm-hmm.
Now, of course, that's not the case. You know, things have advanced. And we even early on when we were doing putting together our workshops, we've got it won't be at Caldera because, again, we're trying not to be exclusionary, but we have a Women's for Women's Drum Circle where basically all us guys get kicked out and the women just go in and they do a women's empowerment circle. And
uh-huh.
And I love seeing women step in, because women, and this is just fact, women work together so much better than us guys. I don't know if it's the testosterone or what it is, but we often don't work as well in circles together as we should. And that's part of one of our workshops too, but we won't get too deep into that. But Rebecca and Tisa and Kathy, they all take over at some points, and they do women's circles. And what the idea of that is not to segregate again, but it's hopefully to get some women who feel a little intimidated of walking into that guys club you're talking about.
I've so often, you know, stood outside of drum circles and seen women standing there with their drums who never joined the circle, and sort of tried to encourage them over the years, you know, go sit down. There's no way, wrong way to do this, you know. Jim Donovan, that was the guy's name I couldn't think of. I took some drum circles with him, and what a cathartic experience it was for me to do that as a woman, especially, because he did say, there's no wrong way to do this. You shouldn't be intimidated. Just sit down, you know, get your drum and go. And so I'm really glad that you guys, when I saw that, you know, it was a very split group, and I was like, oh, this is great. There's actually women out there, you know, playing the drum, and we have something to aspire to and say, see, girls can play too. So thank you for doing that. That really meant a lot to me, so personally.
Well, and
I'm one of the guys. I'm one of the guys that likes to dance. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Not really joining in. And that's one of the things that I do. I try to encourage everyone, even women who don't know how to drum, have never really tried to drum. Women that walk up and say, oh, well, I'm just a dancer, or I'm just a this. You try to encourage them and let them know that, you know, if you have a heartbeat, you have rhythm in you, and you have every right in the world to sit down and share it with everyone. That's the goal, is like sharing yourself.
Yep.
And sharing what's inside of you, and developing the courage, the self-esteem to say, hey, you know, I can do this too. And that's the big things that we work on in those workshops, those particular workshops.
And that's just awesome,
well,
and it really warms my heart,
cool.
So thank you.
Yeah. Now we just got to get some more men to dance.
We've been at a couple of events
we went to last year. I was like the only guy. I don't mind the odds, you know, being surrounded by all these women dancing. But, you know, still it would be nice to have more men that would, you know, get that, you know, get that passion and feel it, and get the, you know, get up and start moving.
But well, anyway, you know, I think a lot of us are still held by our constraints, our societal constraints. You know, that men do this and women do that, and that's going to take some time. But I think it's getting there. You know, and I don't think we catch ourselves on that all the time either. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
We kind of perpetuate that. I mean, it starts, you know, at the junior high school dance with the boys on one side and the girls on the other. And the girls will dance with each other, and the boys will stand around and look at their sneakers, you know. And it doesn't seem like we've progressed a whole lot. When you go to drum circle, you see a lot of that still. So it's funny.
We don't need to progress. We need to go back. We've backed up. I mean, all of the old drawings, I mean, look at all the cave drawings that show men with spears dancing around the fire.
So if you look at some of the more primal cultures, you're right, you're spot on. They're not caught up in that gender role thing. I think that's just something we're having to overcome. You know, I'm fixing to tell on myself. I grew up in a time frame. I remember back in the 70s and 80s, and I grew up in a time frame in West Tennessee area. Guys didn't dance. Now, we would go out. But we didn't dance, and it was because you felt intimidated to. But I think that's something it's a breakthrough that's changing, and that's a good thing. I think we need to encourage it everywhere we can.
Absolutely. All right. So tonight I have a song of yours that I want to play at the break. Now I understand this is one of your more recent songs called "Long Black Curl."
Yes.
And I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about the song, about the album it comes from, the whole process that went into getting this song to where we're going to be listening to it tonight.
Yeah, I'd love to. We had an occasion, and there's a little bit of a backstory to the whole album, but in particular that song too. We had an occasion a few years ago to encounter Alex Bledsoe, who is a fantasy author. If you don't know him, look him up. He's got a lot of amazing stuff out there. But we encountered him at a festival, and he approached us after he heard us play, and we found that there was a lot of, I don't know if you want to call them coincidences or what the case may be, but he'd been writing a series of books, and he started writing the series of books around the same time that the band actually formed, even though we didn't know each other. And what he'd been writing about was a group of people he called the Tupa. Tupa being his way of saying Tuatha, ironically. And his books about the Tuatha De Danann who traveled in his books, in his storyline, to the United States before we even settled here, and they'd been living here, time out of mind. People didn't know that they were the fairy folk of Ireland. And it's set in modern day, and his Tupa lived in the Smoky Mountains of East Tennessee, which is where we live. And his Tupa were all musically inclinated, which is kind of what we're doing right now. And so we found all of these connections. As a result of that, we started reading his books, and we put together the CD, Tupa Tales, Appalachian Fae, after reading the books, and wrote music to correlate with the three books that he, well, the two books he had at the time. He was in the process of writing the third book, which brings us to Long Black Curl. Long Black Curl was the third book in his series. And so all of that music, on, well, not all of the music, but the three first pieces of music on that CD correlate with Alex's books, including Long Black Curl. And it's about this group of, well, it's the Appalachian Fae. It's the Irish folk, the Irish fairy folk, now living in the Smoky Mountains, according to Alex's vision. And that's what Long Black Curl really is. It's, you know, as the Fae will be, there's the dark and the light. They require each other to live together. They require each other to live. And so they live together somewhat unharmoniously, but they have to live together. And really that's where the inspiration for the song came from, was from Alex Bledsoe's books.
Cool.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and listen. Yeah, now it's kind of a long song, so we'll go ahead and start the break a little early. And let's go ahead and listen to Long Black Curl by Tuatha Dea, and we'll be back after this in a commercial about Caldera Fest and a couple of things, and we'll be back very shortly. Everybody stick around and enjoy the song. Thank you.
The Magic Jukebox Podcast presents Caldera Fest Pagan Music Festival, May 26th through May 30th in Lafayette, Georgia. This event will feature the best in pagan music and over 100 vendors and workshops. Featuring Tuatha Day, Dave the Bard, S.J. Tucker, Wendy Rule, Digis Christ Superdrum, Dragon Ritual Drummers, and many more. Also featuring the official release of the Green Album. This eclectic compilation of thoughts and sounds will feature various acts performing at Caldera Fest, benefiting the Rainforest Trust. Come on out and have the time of your life. Caldera Fest Pagan Music Festival, May 26th through 30th at Cherokee Farms in Lafayette, Georgia. For more information, visit calderafest.com today. See you there.
You're listening to Terry and Onyx on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're glad you're here. And now, back to the show.
We'll move you to Virginia.
We love our rejoin music. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is Terry Power, and you are under a shady tree with Terry and Robin. And we're joined tonight by Danny and Becca and some other members of Tuatha Dea. Adia. Too many ways to pronounce that, guys.
Either way, it's fine. We quit
trying. I see it and can't say anything.
Do I?
Yeah, I see it and can't say anything but Dea. I don't know why, but or Dea.
Okay, go ahead. Because we don't, as I mentioned to you earlier, we don't really pronounce it correctly. And it's not out of ignorance. We adopted the phonic pronunciation of the Dea ourselves, but for those listening that just really want to know, if you go by the old Irish, it's two a day. We tried that early on. It didn't stick. Everybody pronounced it phonically. I mean, we've been called Tallulah Day and a lot of other things, twice a day. So we quit trying to tell people how to say it, and we just adopted the phonic. So you can say it any way you like, and it's fine. We'll answer.
Yeah. Well, I follow the Irish gods. So you know, Tuatha De Danann. When I first saw your name, I knew that pronunciation. So it took me a while to be able to call you Tuatha.
It took us a minute, but we just after a bit, it seemed like the thing to do.
So for any
speakers out there, we know how it's pronounced. We just don't do it that way because here in the U.S., it's been very difficult to get that point across. So we just quit trying, and it really doesn't matter. You know, so we're golden.
Hey, as long as they call you for gigs, it doesn't matter, does it?
Exactly.
That's right.
As long as people like your music and have a great time.
And that's the idea, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, Danny, during the break, you and I started a conversation, and I said, well, let's save this and share it with the listeners. And we were talking about just the epic historical quality of Caldera Fest coming up.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, you were talking. You know, you were talking about the you know, 29 bands, and watching this develop, and yeah, I just know that this is going to be one of those moments that people that were there are going to be able to say we were there, and go ahead.
No, it's historical. It's historical. It's unprecedented. I think we were talking about the fact that I believe David is about to set a standard that a lot of people are going to be shooting for.
Yeah.
It's unprecedented, you know. I mean, and he's setting the precedence, I believe, that we're all, like, this is the first one. I anticipate there'll be more. I've heard David mention that's certainly something he wants to do. But this is the first one. This is the first time it's ever happened. And that's huge. And
yeah.
as you mentioned, you know, being at this one will be something people can look back and say later on, I was there. You know, I was there. And, of course, we're honestly, even though, you know, we're performers at this event, we're looking at it the same way. To be part of this thing the first go-round, that's phenomenal. That's huge. And it is historical. I don't really, obviously, I'm trying to talk about what the future holds, but I think that we're safe in this case, you know. This is going to be something that's needed.
Yeah.
And it's something people that missed it are going to wish they went to, and people that were there are going to be talking about forever. So, huge. It's a huge thing.
Yeah, I'm kind of reminded of the Band of Brothers speech from Shakespeare. And people who were not there will, you know, what's the line about and men who did not shed blood with you this day will think their manhood bought cheaply. And
exactly.
I think there's going to be a kind of a feeling of that. Those that are not there will look at and regret that they were not there.
Well, you know, I was alive during Woodstock. I'm not going to say that I was doing a lot during that time frame of my life. But, you know, I look back at that. When I see the stuff, I'm like, wow, wouldn't that have been cool? Of course, I was really young. But this is, especially in the pagan sphere, this is the equivalent. And I don't believe people are off base at all by saying, you know, by calling it what it is. And when you consider the fact that it's being done within the pagan community, and we are about unity. We are about acceptance, just like your show. You know, you accept everything. I mean, everything has equal value. I think that makes it even bigger and more beautiful, you know. Again, to anybody that is thinking about it, stop thinking, start looking. If you can make it happen, you know, make it happen. I mean,
yeah,
we're lucky and fortunate to be part of it, you know. But even if I wasn't, I'd be making plans to be there.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I've got one more question about Caldera Fest, and then we'll talk about the Green Album. But I know that with one stage and 29 artists, even with 4 days, this is going to be a tight schedule. So are there going to be any set-aside times for jam sessions?
You know, I don't think there's set-aside times, but what I think you can expect, again, I mentioned earlier that a lot of us know each other. You know, that's one of the things that we love about the fact that we're doing what we're doing is we've been able to meet a lot of groups that we were fans of prior to. And a lot of us have played together. Some of us have recorded together before and done things like that. I think you can expect to see musicians on stage with other musicians. I think that goes without saying. I know there's already been – I don't think I'm letting any secret out when I say that that's already been discussed amongst certain musicians that they're going to be on stage with other musicians, you know, because that's part of our whole communal perspective on things in the first place. And when else do we get this sort of an opportunity? You know, I mean, you've got people there that are just, not only are they amazing musicians, they've all worked together in some fashion. Most of them anyway have worked together in some fashion, and we're looking forward to meeting the ones we haven't, which quite honestly is just a handful.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, I don't know about necessarily jam sessions. I wouldn't rule that out. Because the stage is going to be pretty busy. But I do think that seeing members of this group on stage with other people and other people on stage with other people and other people on stage with us is something you can expect, you know. When do we get this chance? We're all excited, too. I mean, for us, this is, you mentioned earlier, we're fans of each other. So this is exciting for us as well.
Well, very cool. All right, so now the Green Album. I understand that this is a compilation album and that you're kind of driving this or organizing it or whatever.
Yeah.
I understand correctly.
Yeah, a few years ago, I mentioned this earlier, how fortunate we feel to have been traveling in circles and we get to meet people. And I called myself a fanboy. The first person I fanboyed over was Wendy Rule. Now, she didn't know that till this very moment, so there you go. But because I was very cool about the whole thing. But we got to play with we did a little thing called The Tribe, which was our first time around recording with other people and people stepping in the community and doing work on an album we were doing. And I kind of got the idea back then, how cool would it be to do a compilation? And since we've got the opportunity to meet some of these amazing artists and work with them, if we could pull something together. And it was, and I admit, this, I'm still blown away by how well this has come together. This is my first, or Tuatha Dé's first, attempt at producing anything. And that's kind of how it got started. And we started contacting people. The first people I talked to about it before, when it was just an idea, was Wendy and SJ and Sharon and Winter. And they were excited about the idea. And it grew from there. So what the Green Album is, it's a concept album where all the artists are, and bear in mind, none of us are, you know, you're not seeing any fundraisers or anything, all doing this. We're all independently doing this on our own, creating one piece of music each that will go on this album. And there's 14 different artists. And in just a second, I'm going to let Kathy tell you who they all are. And I'm going to let Kathy do it because she's got the best Southern accent of all of us. But it is. It's awesome. I like to listen to her talk. But we got to talking about, and there's 14 independent artists all creating one piece of music to go on this one album. And we called it the Green Album. I admit we stole it from the Beatles' White Album idea. But so it's the Green Album with 14 different artists. All the songs are eco-driven, ecologically driven, and that's why we called it Green, because we all do have an interest in our Mother Earth. And everybody wrote a song for this CD. It's only going to be available on this CD. Nobody's heard any of the music yet except for the artists. I'm lucky. I've got to hear it all. You guys are in for a treat. They've all done amazing work. I can't tell you anything besides that. and it's all though based on raising awareness or celebrating the earth. And we decided we wanted to walk what we were talking. You know, do something more than just sing about it, or in this case, walk what we're singing. So we partnered with Rainforest Trust, which is an amazing organization that has been around for 27 years. They save rainforests all over the world, and they do it in the most direct, amazing way. They don't litigate. They don't fight over it. They just find where there's a problem. They go buy the land, and they own it and turn it into a conservatory. And so we're going to be partnering with them, and all 14 artists have agreed that 25% of all the proceeds from this are going to that organization. So we're trying to do something. We're trying to do more than just create art. We're trying to make the art do something. So that's the Green Album and awesome. The idea behind it.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. So
yeah.
when do we get our media copy?
When you get your copy? As soon as we release it.
Yeah,
that's the media. This is where it tied in with Caldera. Talked to David early on, and all of this sort of correlated and worked out in the right way because these 12 of the 14 artists on the Green Album will be at Caldera.
Cool.
And so David has set aside a special slot on Saturday night for the Green Album to premiere. Up to that point, it's kind of like we've got all this stuff kind of. We know it's there. The album won't go on sale until Caldera. And we're going to do a special performance of it because, again, 12 of the artists will be there. And so there's a slot just before we come on, I think, that on Saturday night where it'll be all the Green Album artists together at Caldera performing this stuff together, probably the only time that it'll ever get performed together, I'm imagining. Just because, you know, again, this is unprecedented. Caldera is unprecedented when you get these people together. So it's got its own time slot. And we're going to be presenting it there. We're going to make it available there. Now, after that, we'll get you your copy.
Outstanding. I'm looking forward to it. And you answered my next question. I was going to ask you how many artists are on the album and how many artists are going to be at Caldera Fest. So you nailed two of my questions without any having to ask. Now, you said Kathy was going to give us the list of the artists.
If you want to hear Kathy talk, I'll let her be specific, and she can she can see who the artists are that are going to be on the Green Album. And all of those but two, and I'll let you know who those are at the end, are at Caldera. So I'm going to turn this over to my sister, Kathy. Here she is. Talk away.
Okay, we got Sharon Knight.
That's her real voice.
Ginger Doll. Wendy Rule. Mama Zina. Becca Kelso. Eliana. Celia Farron. S.J. Tucker. Dave the Bard. Brian Hinkey. Spiral Dance and Spiral Rhythm. Murphy's Midnight Rounders, and us, Hawaka Dance.
All right.
That's the Green Album artist. And everybody on there besides Kellyanne and Spiral Dance will be at Caldera. And,
okay.
And that's because of previous engagements. I know I heard an interview Kellyanne did a week or so ago, and she mentioned the fact that she would have been there, but she had previous engagements. So 12 of the 14 artists will be at Caldera. And all of those artists have written music for the Green Album. And all of those artists are going to be donating 25% of everything that happens with that album once it's released to Rainforest Trust.
Wow.
That is so cool.
That's incredible. A lot of those artists that you mentioned, we're working on getting, as I told you during the break, we're trying to get all of the artists that are going to be at Caldera Fest to share a little time here with us under the shady tree between now and Caldera Fest. So,
Niv is working very hard to get everybody in line.
Our booking, our assistant station manager in charge of booking has been working feverishly and doing an amazing job of helping us get the artists booked and scheduled to be on the show. So,
that's
shout out to Niv. Thank you.
Yay, Niv.
All right, so Danny, we are rapidly approaching now toward the top of the hour. How does someone get in touch? Well, wait, let me back up before we do that. After Caldera Fest, or even between now and Caldera Fest, what do you guys have coming up in your travels and performance schedule?
I'm going to turn this over to Becca because she's going to keep up with this for me. We've been on hiatus. Just not really. I call it that, but it's not really been because we've been working on the Green Album. We go back on the road in March, and I'm just going to turn it over to her, and she can give everybody an idea where they may can run across it.
Yeah, some of the more recent ones that we're going to be starting with is going to be in Myrtle Beach, at Celtic Festival on March the 18th through the 20th. I believe, and then actually the weekend right after that will be in Asheville, North Carolina at the Expo, the WNC Expo, on the 26th of March. And then right after that in April, the beginning of April, we start out in South Carolina at Tartan Day South, little Celtic Festival in South Carolina. And then that's the first weekend in April, April 1 through 3. And after that, we're going to hit Louisiana at Drums in the Swamp.
Which is really cool.
It's very cool.
That one sounds cool.
And in the rest of April, on the 29th and 30th, we're going to be in Pennsylvania at Southwoods Ferry Festival. And on in the May. Blue Ridge Beltane in Virginia. That's going to be May the 13th through 15th. And, of course, at the end of May, May 27th through 29th, we'll be at Caldera Fest in Lafayette, Georgia. And how far do you want me to go? I can keep on going.
Well, I get the idea. So y'all going to be getting back on the road and going to be busy.
Yeah.
We are. We're going to be back on the road. some of the other things will be in Kansas City at their Highland Games. We'll be at Pagan Spirit Gathering again this year, up in Illinois at their new location. We're going to be going up to
Iowa,
at a little town called Burlington, playing there before we go to Summerlin up in Wisconsin. So it's going to go on and on. And if anybody wants to find out more about where we're going to be at, as we get bookings, we're putting them up on
Reverb Nation,
which also goes to our website, which is www.tawathadia.com or www.tawathadia.net. So everything will pop up there. So instead of just going through this extremely long list of places that will be, that's probably the best way to find it.
All right, excellent. Well, I look forward to maybe crossing paths again after Caldera Fest. So, that answered the question about how to get in touch with you guys.
Yeah.
So www.tawathadia.com.
Exactly. Or just come right at us at Facebook. We've got you can just come straight to us on Facebook. That's how most people actually get in touch with us, ironically, is through Facebook. Those are either the websites or Facebook, and you'll catch one of us in one of those two places.
All right, sounds great. Well, thanks again for being with us. And now's the part where we talk about how to get in touch with us. You're welcome to stick around. Robin, how do people get in touch with us?
Well, probably the best way to reach Terry and I would be to send an email to littlestonebridge@gmail.com, or you can find us on Facebook at the Little Stone Bridge Pathworkings Facebook page, or you can find me at either the Spiritual Wellness Physical Health Facebook page, which is my Monday night show, or you can find me at my Facebook page, Robin A. McKean. You can also find Terry at his Facebook page, which is Rev Terry Power HP. Or you can, if you have station comments, you love us, you hate us, you want to get in touch with somebody that we've interviewed in some way and you can't remember how to do it, then you can certainly give us send us an email to SURN at, help me, Terry. I have a mental block about this particular.
You completely block on this every show.
I do. I admit it.
SURN.org@gmail.com.
You know why? Because it's backwards. It should be like @gmail.org or something. Anyway,
so
that one, what he said. So you can contact us at that one as well. And if you have questions about workshops or counseling.
Yeah, just our ministry. Our ministry at Little Stone Bridge.
That's the place to contact
us. Mind, body, and spirit. You can contact us. Use the address, the littlestonebridge@gmail.com address.
Correct.
And we'll be happy to talk with you about coming to your event, because we're already getting kind of a crowded schedule, not like these guys. Certainly, but we already have about four events where we're going to be participating this year already. So if you're looking to get us to come speak at your event, you need to get in touch with us soon. That's littlestonebridge@gmail.com. So, Danny, Becca, all of you guys, Kathy, Chris, Adam, Tessia, thank you guys for being with us tonight. Thank you for sharing your song and your stories.
Thank you guys for having us.
Thank you.
It's our pleasure.
Yeah, it was really nice to get to know you guys a little bit and hear what you're about, and as well as, you know, your music. And I know I'm really looking forward to seeing you at Caldera Fest.
We'll,
if not sooner,
you
know, that fairy festival is not far from us, so we might pop in there.
Well, good. Now we got two places.
Yeah, I was listening to that, and I was taking some notes. So the fairy festival does sound interesting.
I tried to go last year, and I missed the weekend.
Well, if you guys ever find yourself down in the Smoky Mountains of East Tennessee, we're not hard to find down here either, so give us a yell.
Yeah, well, and I'll throw out there, I grew up in Chattanooga.
Oh, okay. Well, this is hometown.
I went to University of Tennessee in Knoxville, so I love going over to Gatlinburg, so it won't take much to get me over there.
Good. Well, you know where we are.
All righty. Well, thanks again for being with us. Thanks to all of our listeners for sharing this time. Thanks to Robin for being my partner and my support and keeping me mostly out of trouble. And thank you all again, and I wish you a week filled with love and with wonder. Good night, everyone, and blessed be.
Blessed be. I can talk. Thanks, guys.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.